What is up? It's Tuesday night. It's time for another episode of Inside the Game. I'm DJ Week, joined tonight by Idra and In Control from Evil Geniuses. Guys, hello. How are you? What is up?
Hi.
I know you're waiting for Pain User to speak first, but I'm afraid it's just you two guys.
I can say something for Pain User.
Okay, let's hear the official intro on behalf of Pain User.
Fucking good, man. How you doing, bro?
It's like we don't even need him.
All right.
We talk twice as much.
There we go. What's up? Episode 49, August 14, 2012. Hard to believe that in just a short week we'll have done 50 episodes of the show. And that's almost 50 times that we've gotten to hang out with Goat Lust. Almost.
Almost 50.
Just so one shy.
Just really, yeah, one or two. I think there was a second episode he said that he missed because, you know, his mom got run over or something like that. But
I better have a good excuse for last week.
That's
the mom run over thing was okay, but
he tried.
We'll have a question for him. How's that, motherfuckers?
Yeah. You mean on episode 50? Is that what you're saying?
This one, we got to ask him why he wasn't here last week.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think he just didn't have my other Skype.
Well, he should. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's his responsibility as our guest.
People can find that stuff out.
You're right. That's fair enough.
He had the passion.
We've got a ton, actually, to talk about tonight. A lot of stuff been going on. But Idra, did you paste it? You did. Idra brings up kind of one of the most interesting things that I'd heard in a while, right as we're about to begin the show. And what's the topic of that thread that you...
Mineral boost trick. Okay. Works in 1.5 again.
Okay, mineral boost trick. All right, so, I mean, Idra kind of just, like, said it right there. If you guys remember, a while back, God, it seems like so long ago.
It was within the first three seasons of the GSL. Like, it was at the end of 2010.
And you read through this, and you said that it is apparently back. Can you kind of break it down for us?
Well, someone just tweeted it at me like right before we went live, so I just skimmed it. But apparently, you can get a 24% bonus or like boosting income per SUV. I assume that's the only SUV on the patch, and it does it because when you queue actions, there's no acceleration involved. But normally, when SUVs are mining, they decelerate. Any worker, I think, it's just with SUVs. They decelerate before they get to minerals and before they get to the command center. So you take out the deceleration, and they're constantly moving faster.
Now, this was obviously removed. It was removed in whatever the frick patch that was way back in the day. And you were saying, you know, we were kind of talking, is this something that will get patched out? And I want to hear what you guys have to think about that.
Well, they purposely removed it last time. They said they don't want spamming actions to be something that's encouraged. So, kind of seems like they'll take it out again.
Yeah,
I don't know what change brought it back though. I don't know what would do that.
Well, at one point they brought everything back actually. So maybe
that's true.
Yeah, that is compounded all of those updates into one. I have to probably think that they'll patch this out, but it is just kind of like so weird because we'll see it. I remember seeing it back in the day, like people making a conscious effort to, he's queuing as he gets to the mineral patch. Is what it looks like. I'm showing the video right now on the stream.
I think that's how it worked before. You had to like hold down shift and C and spam right click on the minerals while it was mining.
Yeah, and in this one it's like he makes the return and then as he's heading back, or maybe not, I don't know, I'm not listening to the guy. But
I'm actually pretty okay with people doing that until they patch it. Like that looks like so much fucking work.
it's a pretty big boost. If 24% per SUV, you can probably do it for two or three at once.
That's like a mini mule in control.
That's quite a
come
big
on, man.
Challenge accepted.
Just pretend like they're all yellow. Then you'll see. Anyway.
An extra 10 minerals per minute per SUV.
There's a thread on this by the Wisp currently on Team Liquid. You can go and check that out right now. I don't know if it's going to be something we're going to have to learn. I doubt it. I expect that it will get it'll get patched out. I think it'll get patched out sooner than later. And since we're on the topic of apparently that one didn't say, since we're on the topic of balances and patching and stuff like that, there was recently a new map thrown out there that had the proposed balance changes, and I won't even ask you guys the question of whether or not you play the map or are going to play the map, but I think at least discussing the balance changes seems to be appropriate because they're really trying to target the couple of things that I think people made a lot of noise about in a previous patch, and then something, you know, I think to just kind of give Terran a buff. But the creep tumor build radius, vision radius, and creep spread radius has decreased from 10 to 8. That's one of the balance changes they're testing on this Antigua shipyard. And the other one is the Raven movement acceleration has been increased, as well as the movement speed. And apparently it is much more like a medevac in that regard. So let's start with the creep, because obviously queen change. First it was the damage range, and then it was the, you know, creep tumors, the obscene spreading of creep. And this seems to be one way to not compromise the changes they made, but sort of decrease the amount of creep spread that's going out there. Idra, 10 to 8, what do you think about this change in relation to some of the complaints that we've heard over the past few months?
The change itself, I think, is okay because Zerg is so creep dependent, and it's a thing that's not really, like, there's nothing to it. It's just, it's good to spread creep. The more you have, the better it is. There's nothing really involved in it besides going through and doing the actions as quickly as possible on time. My only fear is that ZVT seems to be moving back towards balance in Korea pretty rapidly. I think the win rate was almost 51% for Terran, in fact, this month. So they are kind of figuring out how to deal with stuff already. So I'm not sure if any patch that nerfs Zerg is really a good thing, especially considering things still seem to be in flux. Like, it was 70% for Zerg or whatever 2 months ago, and it's already dropped down that much. I think it deserves a little more time to wait and see.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, as far as creep goes, I mean, I agree with Greg. I've always been kind of a voice, or I try to be anyways. I haven't always, but I'm trying more recently to be a voice of moderation. If there were to be a balance change, I think this is one of the safer areas to do that, and my reasoning is that I like that basically what it's doing is quote-unquote nerfing something, but not so much at the top end. Like, I feel like really good Zerg players will spread creep pretty well anyways, and sure, two less space is going to slow down their creep spread, but it's not going to, like, this is not the ghost nerf or something like that where it got, you know, well, I'm just not
right.
You're not going to hear Zerg be like, well, fuck it.
If I would have had
creeping anymore.
Two extra units on my creep tumors, then this wouldn't have happened, yeah.
You know what? I won't spread creep! All right, screw it! I'll have my overlords dump the shit all over the place. Like, no one's going to freak out about it that way. But at the same time, it seems like the most moderate proposal that they've ever made, and I'm kind of, like, a little bit of a golf clap for Blizzard on that. Like, yeah, I agree with Greg. The numbers are swinging back, and it's good. And maybe more time would be necessary. But maybe there is more time in store, because this isn't done. It's just, like, proposed. But this is pretty good, I think. Now, well, I'll wait till you talk about the Ravens, but I'm just...
All right, so, sure. So, just to kind of give a sort of a recap on the Ravens. The Raven movement speed acceleration, or movement acceleration, has been increased 0.25. Movement speed increased 0.5, or 2.5 as well. And overall, I think that might not seem like a drastic change, but actually... when you consider the fact that it does get that acceleration boost, which is where a lot of the speed problems with the Raven came, you kind of look like you wanted to have a head explosion in control. So elaborate for us, please.
Well, I got a couple. My first response, I think it's funny that, like, Terran players are like, don't you ever suggest we make Ravens. I'm tired of that recommendation. And then Blizzard's like,
Ravens.
You know, you guys probably make more Ravens. I'm wondering what Terran player out there is like, you know what my biggest problem, you know what really fucking just chaps my gears about the Raven? Acceleration move, man. Like, it's like, I'm going to start moving now, but it doesn't. It takes forever. Like, and now that they changed that speed, is that guy like, finally, now I can tear around the map with those Ravens that I want to make. Like, As good as the proposal is for the creep spread, this one is ridiculously strange to me. Like, the Terrans have been complaining about how hard it is to make a Raven, the downtime on a Raven, like, the upgrades necessary to make a Raven relevant. These are the things that they're talking about. The importance of a starport. You need to be making medevacs in just about every single matchup, so taking time to build a singular Raven is really expensive. If you make six starports and you're making Ravens out of six tech lab starports, that's an extremely expensive thing for a bunch of units that have one or two spells you're going to use per cycle. That's complicated. That's where our attention should be.
Right.
But Blizzard's like, fuck it, man. Wait till you see how fast this guy goes. Right? You're worried in the past about, oh no, the Ravens are tech. Well, guess what? It's kicking ass now. It's hauling around. Like, I don't get it.
As fast as a medevac, man.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. The problem is getting to Ravens and getting up the energy you need and not having them move around. Like, if you're using a bunch of Ravens or anything besides one Raven, it's almost definitely going to be with a pretty slow mech ball or at least a Thor-based ball at late-game TBZ. You don't want it to be moving fast. Like, in fact, if bad Terrans are going to have more trouble with it now because it's going to accelerate ahead of their army like the way Infestors used to for bad Zergs. It's going to be a little bit more useful for like going around and doing auto-turret harass or something, which is not a big deal at all. But overall, it doesn't really fix any of the problems, and it's not really... Yeah, it doesn't address any of the problems that people feel they have with Ravens. And another thing is, that's the style of play that most Terrans say you should be aiming for late game to beat the Zerg Death Ball is that kind of Raven support, lots of Vikings, lots of Thors, very turtly. And a lot of Terrans will actually say, if you can get to that point, you're in pretty good shape. As long as you use HSM versus PDD well, and you get to that army, then you're good. It's the early mid-game part that's hard. So really, it seems like Blizzard's really looking in the wrong places to help Terran. And like Jeff said, it's the exact opposite. Like, if a balance change needs to happen, taking down creep a reasonable amount is a really good way to go at it. Buffing the Raven speed and acceleration is the other end of that spectrum.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. It is sort of one of those mind-boggling things in the grand scheme, but we'll see if the usage increases. I mean, in the past, we have seen those situations where a unit gets a change, and it's not necessarily even an amazing change, but suddenly people start using it more. The thing is that I don't know how many changes they could make to this particular unit or how many, like, fucking flashing neon signs they can, like, point at it before people, you know, they realize, oh, okay, guys, it's just not going to happen. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. Now, before we move on to the rest of our topics, we have quite a bit. Actually, want to go ahead and just restart Skype if we can. I am getting like a crackling sound. It's on my side, not your guys' side. I'm going to go ahead and just restart Skype, and I'm going to call you guys back. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. So I'll go ahead and do that real quick. Okay. All right, guys. I'm going to call them back. I'm going to just close down Skype completely and hope that that will fix the problem. Apparently, it is something to do with the sound card and or Skype. Maybe if we were using Raid Call, it'd be better. But it was working fine before the show began. Let's hope it works fine again. Sorry about that. Let me get back on this. Give this a shot. Can do this too. All right, I didn't hear it. That's good. I think it's Skype, man. Okay. We're going back in. Yo. Sorry about that.
Oh, hello.
But it seemed bad enough that I figured it was probably better that we just took care of it. So, what's up, guys? I think we fixed it.
I don't really know. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, it was like when you guys were talking, occasionally there would be this static sound.
Intolerable.
Yeah, intolerable. It sounds like it's much better, though. So we'll go ahead and
Greg, it's
move
a swirling
on.
Thing for me, but that's fine as long as it's
Yeah,
I get to see Greg all day long.
I do see him. Oops.
There we go. Oh, now we just swirly thingy.
All right. Got swirly things like crazy. All right, next thing. Change your passwords, folks. It's not just all about having a bad chat, something that's not able to be moderated. It's not about giving us the features that we want. It's about security. And there was a BattleNet breach, probably due to some Diablo 3 player. I mean, right?
Some, like, super secret exchange of information went on in the Diablo 3 realm where a guy, like, handed someone a briefcase that had the access codes to Blizzard in-game. That'd be awesome.
There's some bad shit going on, no doubt.
Is there any victims to this, or are people reporting, like, oh, since that crack, now my information's been stolen, or is it just, like, oh, no, it could have happened?
So, I was talking to Greg about this before, and it sounds like it's kind of, so, nothing, like, was directly accessed, but they said that some encrypted data got accessed, and that it could be possible that the data is decrypted. So, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where it's you're better. It's at you changing your password immediately in control. No, the best bet is to just get an authenticator. I don't know if you guys use them.
Machine does, but someone stole it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Did you end up finding it, Greg?
Nope.
You can get it. You can get one for the iPhone, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they make an authenticator for the iPhone. But it literally marries itself to the iPhone. So
what do you mean?
It means that you have to, like, also write down a code, because the only way you're going to get your authenticator to work again on a new iPhone is if you have this, like, 28-digit code. It's
you telling me we can't marry men together, but we can marry cell phones to gaming?
Yeah. Apparently. But you should probably go change your password. I don't think, you know, you're going to be any bronze guys are going to be in jeopardy of some guy coming in and playing some games on your ladder, but going to have to do what you have to do. And I just lost in control, but that's okay. He got hacked.
We've been having, actually, that might be kind of true. We have two different internet connections in the house. He's on one, I'm on the other. And the one that him and Bryce are on has been, we think it might be getting DDoSed, but they've been losing connection pretty regularly.
Wow.
So until that changes.
Okay. That's fine. We'll move on. He won't mind. Iron Squid 2 was announced, and this is kind of exciting, just based off of how well they did with the original Iron Squid competition. I know you were there for the past discussion, Greg, but what do you think about the French kind of coming out strong with yet another Iron Squid?
I think it's awesome. The first one, I didn't get to watch much. I was at another event or traveling or something, but I heard, you know, purely positive stuff. They said they got, like, 3,000 people in this giant actual stadium, and that was also the tournament that wrote theme songs for all of us, which is pretty cool. They just had a ton of great players, and it was really well done. I've heard a lot of good things about the French commentating duo as well, Pomp and Thud, maybe?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of good stuff about them. Just everything about it seems really good, and it's cool they're going to do it again. And hopefully I qualify for it, because I want another chance to go back to Paris and eat all their food.
Oh, yeah? Is that why you want to go back? Yeah?
That was the only positive thing about ESWC last year. The only.
Really? Because, yeah. Greg, I've had some pretty crappy experiences with French esports events and food.
Really?
Yeah.
Not the food at the convention center. Convention center food's always terrible.
Well, like, you're right, it is.
Restaurants in the area.
One time, they had the ESWC at 2005 at the Futuroscope, which is basically a theme park from the 50s in the middle of nowhere. And the problem is that you only have the park to eat from. And it was not fantastic. But enough about the food. Like, seriously, this is really exciting. These guys came on Live on 3 after their last event. And you could tell that not only were they serious about what they were doing, but they also were, you know, very passionate about their events. And the fact that they were able to spin another one up so quickly, I think says quite a bit about, you know, what they might actually be capable of doing in the long run. I'm not expecting that suddenly Iron Squid's going to become the next, you know, MLG or ESL or even NASL, but even these one-off events can put someone on a map. I honestly, Greg, I'm not quite sure how much of a financial return you can get on, like, a one-off event like this. I don't know if after three Iron Squids, people are buying merchandise and stuff. So, I mean, it's hard to say, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I imagine they had to do pretty well because they seem like a pretty small... Jeff says to call him back, by the way.
Oh, okay.
They seem like a pretty small independent thing. I didn't hear about a lot of sponsors attached to it. And obviously, it's the first Iron Squid. It's not attached to any big organizations. It's not in an ESL event or a DreamHack event or anything like that. So for them to then come around and put up another event just a couple of months later, I imagine they have to have impressed someone and gotten a bunch of money from somewhere in order to put it on. And given the positive feedback they got, that doesn't really surprise me at all. So it seems like they're doing a really, really good thing.
I agree. Welcome back. Welcome back. It does, man.
If only Raid Call had video support.
If only, man.
Then all our problems would be fixed.
My Skype right now is saying it's not responding and it's like twirling around, but then you called me and it's working anyways, so...
Yeah, Skype's pretty,
Oh, you can even hear me right now. Jesus, that's scary.
It sucks. We were talking about Iron Squid, Jeff. They announced their second one. Any comments you want to give about Iron Squid?
Really excited about it. I think my only... Can you say lamentation? Does that make sense? My only lamentation is that it's an online first tournament feeding into an offline one, which is fine. You know, there's online qualifiers for tournaments, but I guess my point being that it's a really awesome tournament. The offline was really, really cool, but it's not like a MLG or IPL where it's like a massive tournament. It's just it's online.
Right.
So you have cross-server problems. I know that some people had issues with that within their series. Any time a foreigner beats a Korean in an online tournament, everyone always says, well, obviously that's because it was online, so it kind of delegitimizes that win. But then when a Korean wins, due to the cross-server, which has been happening a lot, it's, like, expected. So it just kind of sucks because the whole, like, 75% of that tournament, anything that's online, people don't take seriously. Like, there's...
Oh...
I can't hear him in the mic anymore.
Yeah, that's because he just died. Like a great...
He's still talking. He's really into it, too. It's like passionate.
Oh, shit.
Although, to the point that he was halfway through making, I don't think they've announced any details. At least I don't see any on the Team Liquid thread. So maybe that if they got more money, they're going to have a much bigger offline thing this time. If they could at least have round 8, round of 16 live. Four is pretty small.
That's too funny. Sorry. I could hear Jeff in the background too. Like, keep going. Well, we wish the Iron Squid luck, and we hope that you are playing in it, Greg, and that'll be great. We got some interesting WCS Korea results. I'm not sure if you have been following it at all. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I watched the effort versus DRG games. I haven't seen the other ones, but that one I find really surprising. Like, I've been expecting, I actually expected the Kespa players to do better than they have been, faster than they have been, just simply because they're so good and they've been playing for longer than people realize. But for effort to come and beat DRG, that's a pretty surprising result. But the games were, like, really fast-paced, and ZVZ is just kind of volatile, but, I mean, that's how ZVZ is, and he beat him at it, so.
I mean, is it, Well, going back to what you said about how quickly you thought that some of the Brood War pros were going to be catching on, you know, where do you this was like way beyond your expectations or not so much?
Effort vs. DRG is pretty surprising, but like Jadong beating SC, I would have been very surprised if he hadn't. And I forget what the other, I think it was Hero versus Yu-Gi-Oh. I find that one kind of surprising just because Hero wasn't a big name in Brood War. He was like just starting to get pro league matches at the end, if I remember right. And Yu-Gi-Oh, I feel Yu-Gi-Oh is pretty underrated. Like, I think he has a lot of talent, and I think he could be quite good, but he also has brain farts at times.
Right.
So, on the whole, I think we're still a little bit below expectations, but effort vs. DRG, I didn't think Kespa players would be beating the likes of DRG and MMA and whatnot 3 or 4 months into public competition. Although, to be fair, effort, I think if he hadn't taken the break at the end of Brood War, he would have been on par with B2J.
Everyone else?
Yeah. I think he was one of the most talented players.
There's been a couple of people that have actually said that as well, so I'm not surprised to hear those words come out of your mouth. Of course, it also sets up some interesting one. Former CODESS finalist Genius going up against J-Dong next in a PVZ. And, you know, I think that that would be a pretty tough test for him to actually call him.
Oh, yeah.
Recall. That'd be a pretty tough test, I think, for J-Dong. I mean, Genius hasn't exactly looked like
super. Yeah, it depends on
awesome.
Which Genius shows up, because sometimes he's amazing, sometimes he's awful.
Right. You never know which one you're going to get, man.
Do you know who Effort's playing next?
Effort will be playing Gumiho next.
That will be fun to see, because Gumiho has a very weird, very hectic style of Terran. But, you know, Effort has the Brood War multitasking. He's also really, really smart. And he seems to be adapting to StarCraft 2 well, so I'm very excited to see that. I think Effort's like the StarCraft 2 player to watch for at this point, just because of the performance last night and given his talent for Brood War.
So, Jeff, we were talking about the some of the Brood War success that we've been seeing throughout the WCS Korea. Currently, they're going through some of the lower rounds as we are looking, and the higher rounds are already to round three, with no Kespa players in there. Although I'm not familiar with Roro too much. I don't know if
he was an A-teamer in Pro League in Brood War for quite a while, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
but never like an outstanding talent.
Okay,
good, but not superstar.
So now, as we've seen J-Dong take out SC, it's going to put him up versus Genius, and we saw Effort take out Dong Rangu. It's going up against Gumiho now. And then the Brood War hero took out Yu-Gi-Oh! To go up against Tails. We were just kind of discussing, the fact that we had some interesting results just in this competition. And what are your thoughts?
I think it's cool. I mean, I actually picked J-Dong to beat SC. It's setting up some interesting matches. And obviously, the interesting topic of discussion is, like, they're already this, you know, in later stations of WCS. They're doing pretty well. They're beating GOM established professionals, which is really cool. But I think the topic of discussion kind of shifts every time. Like, at first it was, oh my god, J-Dong's coming. Within 2 weeks he'll win a GSL and stuff. And then people like start shutting up about that because it's obviously not the case. But what nobody should have been saying is that they won't beat anybody or do well at all.
Right, right.
And I really don't think that's the case. So this is, for me, this isn't that surprising. It's nice. It would really suck if they came over and they blew ass, right? Like, yeah. Flash J-Dong Effort. They just couldn't win a game. They looked terrible. They were like doing interviews and they're like, I don't like the game. I'm going to move on to my father's fish shop. You know, like that would be really sad. But now they're starting to click in, they're winning, and it makes it exciting. But it's, if people are posting elephants around and just like kind of like, here comes the end of the world. And you know, like I think Moltrap made a blog where he said, in some timeline, the Kespa professionals will dominate everyone and just, you know, never lose a game and stuff. And I don't want to quote him directly, so nobody take what I just said as like a direct quote, but the gist of what he said is that the Kespa players will be, I know I'm like super careful these days, but, oh god. The gist was that they're going to be unbeatable, and I think that kind of talk is interesting to talk about, but a little bit silly to prophesize, because it's going to take time, and they should be really good.
I do think people need to shut up with the elephant stuff, because I think the most successful, just in terms of results, and honestly in terms of like watching his play, it's been quite impressive. Kespa player so far has been Reality, who was pretty much a nobody in StarCraft, or in Brood War. He was like the equivalent of an MVP or someone like that. Not even as successful as MVP was in Brood War. So, I mean, yeah, some Kespa players are having success, but it's not all the best ones. Bisou, he's actually just pretty terrible at StarCraft 2, despite being one of the best Brood War players of all time, like ridiculously good in every way.
Damn.
So, you know, everyone has different talents. Some of them line up well. For Effort, it lines up well in both games. Mm. For Reality, it lined up well in StarCraft 2 and not in StarCraft 1. For MVP, kind of the same. You know, it's player-specific. And also, they've been playing for so long that it's starting to get to the point where, just like it wasn't War 3 versus Brood War players after a while, because we were all StarCraft 2 players, it's not going to be Kespa versus GSL players for too long, because soon they're all going to be StarCraft 2 players too. Like, at some point you stop, you lose that distinction just because everyone's been practicing it and the playing field's been level.
All right. Well, the WCS Korea continues on. They have probably the longest event out of everyone. But as a result, you get to see pretty much most of the matches, unless you're watching it live, free, and then you need some really good glasses in order to be able to tell what is going on. I know. I don't know. Have you guys actually tried to tune into that one?
Which one? Yeah.
What?
I bought the pass. I just watched the VODs.
Okay. Okay. Me too.
I don't stay up that late.
Let's see. What do we got next? Well, okay. We're going to have Pain User talk with us a little bit about the WCS Australian event that took place this weekend.
Oh no! You're going to have him.
So. Oh! He's not here. Oh! Shit. All right. Well, it happened. I don't know if you guys saw the videos of it, but it actually looked pretty fucking hype, man. Did you guys see the videos?
I saw nothing at all. I think Moonglade won.
He did. He did.
Okay. That's the extent of my knowledge.
And you know, there's one thing for certain, and that is the fact that there's a lot of passion down there, and apparently living on an island is big problems for them because they don't have anywhere to go to share this passion. And so it seems to really be concentrated, but it's there. And I feel bad for these guys, and it like brought more weight and circumstance to every single dude that's ever emailed me or messaged me and said, hey, you know, how can we increase the scene in Australia, you know, because they have the potential there. Yeah. I have no freaking clue how the next step is taken. But I was really impressed with what I saw, guys, and I wasn't necessarily expecting to.
They have, a big part of the problem with being an island as well is that everything costs more to import or export. So for them to take their passion and go abroad, it's expensive. For them to bring passion in to share it is expensive. So they're just kind of, they're insular in a certain way, and they're going to have to overcome that somehow. But WCS is kind of a nice little entryway into that, and again, we got to give credit to Blizzard for making this thing possible. I think that's, we cried and they heard. It's amazing. It's really cool to see these regional WCSs and what they can offer, and Australia was awesome. They've got really good players, actually. A lot of people don't really know that. Mafia, Moonglade. Moonglade's kind of their most famous guy, but even a few others are pretty good, so the quality of games were okay. It kind of sucked that in Oceania, like, 7 of the top 8 were all Zerg, so it made for a lot of ZVZ, which is not everyone's favorite thing to watch. But I guess some of the games are really good in general. And, of course, bringing in Tastosis is going to get you a lot of attention. So I'm glad that people saw a full, energized audience, cool boost with, like, the race of the players on there. It turns out Ayagaz is actually Gimli, carries an axe around to events, and looks insanely hilarious, so that was cool.
Was it surprising to you guys how Zerg heavy it all ended up being in the grand scheme of things?
I think Southeast Asia's always been really Zerg heavy, hasn't it? Moonglade inspired them or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, their best players are certainly Zerg. Like Legionnaire got to play in that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he bounced out quite early. No, he didn't do very well.
He won one. He won one matchup in the loser bracket finals, or loser bracket, Jesus, Frustration versus Legion, or Frustration also being what I'm experiencing right now, but there you go. He won 2-0 there, and then got 2-0'd, so he really didn't even have any sort of any back and forth games. It was either he got beat 2-0, or he won a game 2-0.
Yeah. He was one of the most exciting Brood War players ever, by the way, in case anyone's interested in checking out old VODs, like, go look up any Legionnaire game you can find. He mastered the shuttle in Brood War, actually, and had one of the most insane shuttle Reaver micro play you could ever see. Just amazing.
Well, if Pain User was here, we would probably go a little bit more in depth, but I think that anyone who watched it online, and granted, the other thing that really sucks is that it came on at some wacky-ass times. Like, I was just not ready for that, you know, where it was kind of like you started in the later evening, and it ended up really, like, it was kind of weird. The times I did watch and all the follow-up videos have been really phenomenal, and good job down there, and, you know, maybe we'll hear from Goatlust. He obviously wasn't there, but Maybe he can give us the state of the game in Australia.
He's the Batman of like esports.
Let's see, what else do we got? We talked about that. IPL TAC this weekend. I guess one thing to get out of the way before we start talking about it is that in the middle of it, they announced that the next CODES finals, or is it the one after this, or is it the next one? I'm not sure. An upcoming...
It's going to be in like late November, so...
Yeah. Is it the next one? Okay. An upcoming GSL CODES finals will be played at IPL, the next IPL. That includes the top eight? That kind of changes. Like,
that's really weird.
That's fucking major, yeah.
That takes away like the defining characteristic of GSL. Like, it's a preparation league. It's the only big preparation league. Everything else is run on weekends. But GSL, you have at least 3 or 4 days to prepare specifically for every match, knowing your opponent and all the maps. And by doing this, they just take that away for the most important stage of the tournament. It's kind of weird. I'm really surprised they're doing it, honestly.
I don't like it. It sounds like a good idea that they, like, people had, you know, bring them stateside. I mean, there's no mystery here that a large, I think, still the majority audience for a GOM.
Chat's saying they're reconsidering that.
Right. Oh, the top eight? Is this because... what happened this weekend, or the response, or because there was also an apology issued by IPL. We haven't got to there quite yet, but this isn't like they aren't related.
We can get to that in a
second.
Okay. But my point and my issue, and they're talking about reconsidering it, but for right now, I'll just deal with the facts.
Okay.
Top eight or finals, either way, I don't like the idea of taking two of the best players playing the most important tournament on the planet, flying them across the world, and having them play that really important match, unless. In that format that they're discussing, what they do is they have them fly in like a week before their match. And literally for a week, they're practicing and getting rid of jet lag, which still seems kind of silly because there's going to be a big gap in their playoff system. But I just don't like them being like, congrats, you made it to either your top eight or finals. And now we're going to fly you across the world and have you play that really important match because they're going to play less. They're going to play less good. I don't know. I don't like it.
That's a really good point, too. Yeah.
Some of the comments I had read, some of the comments I've heard, is just that it takes away from what, kind of like Greg said, it takes away of what it has, what it has built itself to be, and the fact that you lose the show, because then is it really the IPL event anymore, or is it the GSL Finals? Like, it's kind of weird because it's a great thing for IPL, but it seems... to GSL to kind of take away from the bigness of its finals, but at the same time it probably saves them a shitload of money.
It depends on where the split is, because I remember when they did GSTL finals at IPL3, GSL GOM brought in their whole production crew and they did all the lighting and they set everything up to their specifications for at least their finals, even if they weren't involved in the rest of IPL3. So they don't have to rent a venue. I don't know where all the costs go in this. I don't know what the budgeting is for it, so maybe they are saving money regardless. But they have to bring over everyone. They still have to do all their lighting and all their setup. So unless IPL is paying for that, they still have quite big expenses. And like you said, it really kind of takes away from the aura of the GSL. GSL is supposed to be like this standalone thing that just murders everyone else in terms of quality, particularly the players and whatnot. And then you just go in and throw it in with another weekend event. It doesn't seem as cool anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the way the finals for the team league finished, they had GSTL at IPL. That was pretty cool. I mean, obviously, you know, everyone wants to talk about the disconnect, which was not necessarily IPL's fault or GOM's. But the glitz, the glamour of it, that was all awesome. So I understand them trying to kind of work with continuation with that and the GSL finals. You know, let's make it really exciting and have it over here as well. I mean, we're going to move on to the other issues they had, but, like, we're talking about cost, we're talking about logistics. These issues are obviously things they're going to tackle. But I think one of the things worth mentioning is I don't know that I have the faith in those things being maintained as really important after the TAC finals, to be honest with you.
Do you, how much do you think it takes away from another event in terms of its hype and its sort of build by bringing another event in? Or does it ever?
Well, it certainly does, especially the Korean ones. Like, there's so many non-Korean fans that are never going to make it to Korea, and the idea of seeing their favorite Korean players play is really attractive to them.
Yeah, it really depends on, like, how big the two events are. Like, when you put together MLG and WCS USA, WCS USA just wasn't that big of a deal. There's not a lot of players who just have big fan bases or people who are interested in watching. So it just fell by the wayside. No one really paid any attention at all to it. Whereas if it was a standalone thing, it would get quite a bit just for the distinction of being WCS USA. And then if we look at this, it's like GSL is so massive. And IPL 5, I don't know. IPL 4 was pretty lackluster. They had a lot of unknown Koreans in the top 8. Most people don't even remember that Alive won it. Squirtle's not particularly noteworthy either. He just didn't get a lot of attention. If they have another tournament like that, something as massive as the top 8 of GSL will just absolutely dwarf that. No one will care at all, relatively.
Yeah, and it doesn't bring that same preparation, the same necessarily level of excitement. But I will have to see if they're going to make these changes based off of the feedback they got. You know, I don't know. I think it is cool to bring a finals, but to kind of, like, consolidate a top 8 into something like that, it still seems a little odd to me.
Particularly top 8 is going to take up a lot of time within the tournament as well. That's, like, I imagine they have to broadcast every match from that. That's at least a day's worth of the weekend dedicated solely to GSL.
Yeah, I think so, at least. At least. It'd certainly take away from what could be seen from the other competition. So, word. What about the IPL event itself? I've actually not seen an event that has garnished as much sort of pitchfork, trident, negative feedback as this event in a while.
It was pretty bad. And the stream was just constantly crashing. I didn't listen to the audio, but apparently the audio issues were like NASL sound guy level kind of bad. And the biggest thing was just like the finals, the grand finale, the defining moment, Seed winning, beating Hero in this really exciting match. And then they have production issues right then. They split to like 3 different screens. They actually miss Hero GGing out, and like they show the GG screen preemptively and whatnot. It kind of destroys the most exciting moment of the whole thing, on top of all the other issues that made it hard to watch, and everything dragged out. They had the long commercials. It was really just pretty poorly done in general.
The sound
strangely enough, I think Greg's being way too kind about this. Usually, Greg, I can count on you for scathing cynicism and even venom, but...
Maybe I forgot about some stuff, because our stream was just so entertaining and like distracting me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we had a good stream.
I listened to that for a little bit.
I mean, here's my biggest problem. That's a weird way to say it. I guess it's not my biggest problem. Kevin issues an apology, and Kevin's a good guy.
Yeah.
The people at IPL are good people. They're not actually like training hamsters to have little nuclear devices in them and run around the planet and blowing up things. Like, it's not some secret evil organization. They're just trying to host a good league. They've hosted great leagues in the past. They deserve our forgiveness. They deserve us to have faith and stand behind them as they have these issues and move forward. So I say that, and there is going to be a but. My but for this is that was horrible. It was terrible. It was absolutely atrocious. And none of what I'm about to say is anything that they deny. They accept that. They say, we fucked up. We did a bad job. But my problem is with this apology, he talks about, well, it was really bad. I'm not going to scapegoat anybody. It's our fault. We have gear coming in, so our production or like the technicality issues should get fixed. And they accept that, but throughout the thread, they're kind of Sundancing it a little bit when Sundance really messed up, and he was just like, "Look, I get it, and we'll do better." And I understand that, we kind of tease Sundance about that too. And to his credit, they did get better, right? They fixed their problems. They rose above it. And MLG is a solid, good event. It always has been. They've had their ups and downs as well. So I want to say this as a backdrop. Maybe IPL, this is their big learning moment, and that'd be fantastic, and I'd like that. But some of the things that are happening with IPL right now are really disparaging. Like Greg talked about the finals, or the final moment of that TAC. That's not a technical issue. That was just flat-out production. They that's personnel. Like, the person hitting buttons at the switcher actually messed that up entirely. They were just flipping between. They early GG'd Hero, which is, like, in our community, a gigantic bad manner thing to do anyway. So, of course, they didn't mean it as bad manner, but it kind of, like, poured salt in the wound of Hero, who's already really emotional when he's playing, and all of a sudden the league's kind of, like, already, like, anticipating his defeat ahead of time.
Right, which is kind of, yeah, it's a super bad form.
And I'll tell you this that they didn't talk about that really bothers me, and this is more of like a going into the future thing. If you look at the IPL stream, they had hosts, they had videos in between, they had content between their two things, and it was a much better done stream. Like, it didn't actually have the ups and downs. The stream did not cut in and out. And then you go to the StarCraft II stream, no host, tons of downtime, no videos. It's like they're not giving a shit about StarCraft II, to be brutally honest with you. It looks like they felt like they could just roll in these players and write on a piece of paper how they were going to intro, waving a flag, and then at the end they were just going to hit the GG screen, everyone's going to be happy. It did not turn out that way, and they don't, like, it's, we're far away from IPL 2 and 3, where the production was phenomenal. We are now talking about new grounds, and IPL right now is, let me think about this before I say it, because this is really, I know the dangers. IPL is the worst league right now. Right?
Meh. Well, IEM's about to start up, and IEM has had their issues, but don't give them the crown just yet, but they're fighting for it.
They're fighting for it, okay? And that's sad, right? Because in the past, IPL was the guy setting the bar.
They were
the ones where everyone else was like, you gotta come close to IPL. They're kicking ass. So what's going on where they've fallen so far from being the trendsetters to making apologies and saying, yeah, we suck ass. Just have faith in us. IPTL is going to be great, and, you know, we're going to do better.
What do you guys think about the lack of booths?
That was just terrible. Like, everything terrible about it looked like they were half-assing it. IPL 3 was amazing. IPL 4, some things dropped off a bit because they were switching to their own production team, which is completely understandable and, like, a good move overall. But here, it's just like they phoned everything in. They just had that one splash screen up the entire time. They had two commercials running the entire time. The stage was literally two desks with the casters right behind them and soundproof headsets. Like, it looked like MLG Dallas 2010. Kind of worse in some ways. It was just really, really bad. Another thing, Jeff kind of said it looked like they didn't care. One thing I heard is that the LOL stream was like much better. They didn't have a lot of the problems. They put a lot more effort into that. It kind of suggests to me that they're hopping on board with LOL and just putting StarCraft II on the back burner. Like, it's the thing they had around for a long time. They're going to keep it. It's still pretty big. But LOL's the thing that gets big viewer count, and maybe they're just kind of short-sightedly looking at that and saying that's where we're going to go. We're going to cater to the thousands of people who don't really give a shit.
And there's no, I mean, there were people at the venue that were actually like, gosh, you know, they're kind of putting League of Legends in the backseat to StarCraft II because of the location where they had them, how that was set up. So the interesting thing about it is that both communities kind of came out with this mindset that, hey, they're really, like, putting our community on blast a little bit, which I don't think was necessarily the intention. I think that just the way everything played out resulted in that. Now, with this being said, you know, Cat's Pajamas, if anyone's ever met him, you know that he is a definitely a very genuine and passionate guy. So as you said, Jeff, that you give people the opportunity to fix those mistakes.
Absolutely.
What is done with this? You know, so far in the Reddit thread, for the most part, it's like, hey, guys, shit happens. Let's do it. You know, like, go for it. Which what's that?
Well, I was just going to say, that's, like, if I could summarize what I'm saying, because some people get really confused about this. They fucked up. They've accepted responsibility. The third part of that is where they go from there. If they improve, if they take things into consideration, if they interact with the community just like they're doing, and the next IPL, you know, it's awesome. It's exactly what they've been doing. Then no one's going to hold a grudge. It's not like anyone wants one less major league, right? We're going to be thrilled for them. We're going to be really happy, and that's what I hope happens. But if they say these things, and in the next event there's no boosts, players may or may not be able to hear each other, the stream's shitty, and their A team is with the LOL stream, which is going off flawlessly. I think the StarCraft II community deserves better, and they should not back a league just because they in the past have done good things. I think we deserve a high standard, and that's all I'm saying. Like, if people want to try to get by on minimum work, we shouldn't support that.
And, you know, the other kind of, like, sad thing about it is that there's no doubt that this was a league that a lot of people were following along with throughout the season. So the fact that the finals is going to kind of, like, erase the history and just sort of write from that point, like, it was kind of a fucked up finals. You know, even though Team Liquid came back, it was good. It, you know, these things happen, and then people will oftentimes forget about what led up to that point. But you're right. I'm willing to give anyone like a second chance, especially if they Absolutely. If they kind of admit that, hey, we fucked up. They also made a bunch of changes throughout the event, which is great. I know the timer was covered up. They fixed that, no problem. It's not often that you see that. At least they did something about it.
Yep.
But we're going to probably talk a little bit more about this on Live on 3 tomorrow as well, and can't wait to hear what Slash has to say about that. But you can head on over if you have comments for IPL and Cat's Pajamas. It's number one on our StarCraft right now, so you shouldn't have a problem finding it. That makes
sense. And I have faith that they'll fix it, by the way. I have faith.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You talked about Cat's Pajamas. If you met the guy, it's not just that he's honest and good. It's actually, he actually has... He's one of those passionate guys. The guy's a freaking monster of, like, passion for StarCraft 2. So, perhaps... I mean, there's all this stuff that happens behind doors that we don't know about. So, there's a lot of reasons. He shared a lot of it. A lot of the downtime was because they were looking for what was creating the buzzing sound for their paid stream. I don't fault them for that. Fuck, you gotta find that.
Right,
it ended up
absolutely.
Being, like, the last place they checked, of course, which is just bad luck. A lot of the stream going down was actually outside of their control. So, those things happen. Let's just... A better future, and I hope they, you know... Stick to their word.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break, and in that break, I'm actually going to go ahead and cycle the stream to try to get rid of these sound problems overall. So you will need to refresh when we come back. I think we kind of got through most of our topics, so we're going to come to the Idra's favorite part of the show, open phones. So, guys, stick with us when we return. Open phones and more discussion here on Inside the Game. We'll be right back. We're back for our second hour here of Inside the Game, episode 49. DJ Weed joined, as always, by Idra and In Control. Pain User is not with us tonight. And, thanks for joining us. We're going to open up the phone lines, I think. And let me hear from you guys. Hopefully the sound issues have been resolved and we don't have to deal with that anymore. But Hello, welcome back.
Hello.
Hello. As we celebrate Goat Lust, WCG Australia. Hello. Okay. I'm gonna open the phone lines.
Very good, Wheat.
Very good. That'll do, Pig. That'll do. You can Skype us at DJ Wheat or telephone 909-581-8519. Let's take our first call. We got Alex on the line. Hello, Alex. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Oh, fucking Alex. Fucking Alex. You know what? Skype call testing service, man. It's there for a reason.
I like those calls. It's at least like theater troll.
Yeah?
Hello, you've called Skype.
I don't know. This is. We're recreating IPLTAC this week on Inside the Game. No.
Well.
In all seriousness.
And we can do it with people.
Ada Lund, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? I'm dying.
I can hear your stream on them, I think.
Oh, yes. Hello. You have a question for In Control? Go ahead.
It is regarding PvP. If you go... I have seen many people going with the speed warp prism. And I have seen Baby Knight and Grubby play in a PvP. Right?
Yeah, the warp prism micro?
Yeah. I was watching the... I think it was on the ladder when Baby Knight was working to get his ladder points. And... Grubby was pulling back his war prism. Do you think that using a war prism is a tactical maneuver to gain a better positioning, or do you just think that a war prism is how does it say this? My English is not very good.
Your English just fine, man. Keep going.
War prism itself. Do you think that it has more abilities that we haven't found yet, or do you just think that he was lucky, Grubby? That is. For pulling Baby Knight's full warp prism out of positioning, because essentially he was sacrificing about 10 or 12 of supply, I believe.
Well, I think you ask an interesting concept question. You'll have to correct me if I'm getting off tone here, but the idea of the warp prism having more abilities than what we're kind of seeing right now, I think both Baby Knight and Grubby do a great job of displaying something that some players have been experimenting with, which is aggressively using Warp Prism, not necessarily to deploy units in a harass situation, but rather pull back a Colossus or pull out an Immortal. I think more of that will certainly come out. You know, it's always been used to resupply armies, it's always been used to harass, but using it to specifically micro amidst a large battle should be great. So yeah, I think that's something we'll see more of.
And people have certainly been using it more as just like the reinforcing pylon as well. I feel like I've seen it over the last 3 months, like... You know, that warp prism stays in the back of an army. It's just kind of there as a insta-pylon whenever you need it. Do you feel like this trend has definitely been on the upswing in Control?
Yeah. I just think more, like, especially if you go by time, Protoss players were never using warp prisms. And then even after their buff, some were discovering it. I think White Raw is like some kind of weird mad scientist who always knew about how good it was. but we're not seeing like the probe cannon rush with the warp prism that we saw in like the GSTL just yet, but we are seeing definitely more, you know, speed warp prism in PvP. Speed warp prism in PvZ is an absolute necessity these days. You cannot beat a good Zerg without warp prism harass. It just won't happen unless you're attacking off two or three bases. Obviously, I'm talking about the late game. But then even in PvT, we're seeing it being used a lot more. Just because it's really hard for Terran to keep up with, you know, 12 Zealots getting warped in the middle of their production line when you're fighting out in the field.
Yeah, harassment is definitely just... I think that's mostly a function of player skill increasing. The better you get at the game, the more multitasking you have, the more you can fit in additional things like that. That's not the main thrust of the game, but it's also very important. But a big thing that people have started to realize is it actually allows you... It's like having a pylon that you can have on creep. So it's incredibly useful with any kind of two or three base PvZ all in, where you don't really want to kill off their creep and wait for that to dissipate before you put a pylon up next to your army. If you just have a warp prism hovering behind, you can warp in on creep immediately. That's a really big bonus. That's one like tactical thing that I think people have really figured out recently.
All right. Caller, does that help answer your questions?
Yeah. Also, in the chat, they're asking if you guys can talk about the matches between Tasia and IM.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we kind of neglected to say, and this is the best headline I can imagine for TAC, was that we talked about the criticism and kind of their apology and where they're moving from there, but to a certain extent, IPL TAC 3 was saved by the quality of their games. Tasia actually completing the all-kill versus one of the best teams, if not the best team on the planet in that first round was absolutely phenomenal, some of the best games ever, specifically the TVP on Antigua Shipyard, where nobody thought he could win, but then he did. I think that was actually in the second set. But nonetheless, the games of the TAC were absolutely amazing. And it was cool to see Tasia get 7 kills against IM. Like, it was just ridiculously amazing to watch the best player do that.
My favorite is Younghwa, when he played him on, I believe it was, Atlantis Spaceship. And everyone was like, he cannot win, he cannot win.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have Vikings. But then he just gets the sick flank, and he has, like, I think it's a 75-degree arc, completely stomps his Colossus, and you're like, whoa, this guy has 5 Colossus. He has no Vikings. He cannot win. But then he just took the fight to him and really make good use of ghosts.
You're absolutely right, man. Good questions.
Thank you very much for your call, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. And by the way, good luck in control with your future MLG performance. I hope you get back on... winning streak again.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I'll give it my best.
Thank you, Adelon. Appreciate it. Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Alex has changed his name to Alex Wheat. I have it working now, so I'm gonna take... Hello, we've got Alex Wheat. I have it working now on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hi. Please tell me it's working.
It's working. We hear you.
Yeah, okay. I blame it on XSplit, by the way. Okay. I started streaming a while ago, and it just... screws up my stuff.
Yeah, you kind of have to, like, reset whenever you stream, because that always happens, whether it's a microphone or a webcam or whatever. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. What's up?
I just wanted to hear if you had any comments on the Check 6 disbanding.
We actually were mentioning that was the one thing that we hadn't really brought up. But what are your thoughts on it, and then we'll give our thoughts.
I just wanted to hear what In Control and Indra had to say, because they didn't mention it, like, broadly, but they did sort of talk about Suppy being picked up by EG as being one of the big factors that came behind the solution.
Yeah, so before I let these guys comment, like, over on ESFI World, Check 6 Gaming officially closes down, updated 3 hours 44 minutes ago, written by Brent Ruiz, and a big part of it is a quote from Check 6 that, it's pretty straight up. The departure of Suppy to EG was very tough on the team atmosphere. He was a player we've had for a long time and has always been a vital part of the team. Like, that was a quote that was pulled out, not necessarily saying this was the reason, but both ESFI World and Check 6 kind of made it a point, per se.
Yep.
This is a world where these types of things happen, but it does affect quite a bit of people. Who wants to make first comment on this? Go for it, Mr. In Control.
I guess this is where I get the rage of the internet's after me pretty quick. I did not like it. It's an interesting read right now on Team Liquid Wolf on Reddit, the comments. I read the interview with Kurt, who's generally a nice guy. They're all nice people. It's nothing about them as people. But on a professional level, if your best player, Suppy, is uncontracted, being paid nothing, and he qualifies for WCS, qualifies for Asus ROG, and it's only at Asus ROG where EG approaches him and says, hey, what is the structure of your contract? We're really big on you, and we'd like to talk to you when you're available. And he's like, contract, LOL. And they go, okay. I don't like that the emphasis is at all put on EG as, like, the word that's being used as poached and stuff like that. I'm sorry, but if, like, this is a professional world where the expectation that managers don't talk to players until, like, the players come to the managers and we don't talk to anyone, it is really silly. If we go to Suppy and Suppy says, I'm contracted, I'm happy, and I'm not interested at all in EG, then EG moves on. They don't, like, send him a horse head and he wakes up in the morning and he's like, oh, God, like, you have to join EG or you're going to die. So for them to kind of make the main reason why they're closing their doors, that Suppy got signed to a professional team that approached him and signed him when he was uncontracted, is a little bit disturbing. I mean, they weren't mean about it. They didn't, like, go, EG's this evil court. You know, so it's not anything like that. I don't mean to make it sound like that. But I don't like that that's where they put the blame, basically. Even if they did it politely, what they should have said, no, I'm not going to go there. I don't have any right to speak on their behalf. But I guess it's unfortunate because they're a cool team. They've won two ESEAs. They've traveled their players. They've had hidden talent in McKengen and Mystic in particular. I've been big on those guys for a long time. They're freaking phenomenal players. We don't get to see them that much at all. And they've invested in personalities, which is an interesting concept. I think that's something that more and more people are going to see either have. I mean, we've seen Root do it now. Tech 6 was Maximus Black, Julia, right. And then also even Pain User. So they're one of the first teams to kind of go down that road. I think that's a very interesting concept. But as far as them closing, it's bad for the NA scene. We need more teams that are thriving and doing well competitively. So that's why I'm a little bit perturbed that when they lose their top player because they weren't signing him and treating him like a top player, that they just kind of, you know, that's where they put all the blame. I'd be interested to hear yours and Greg's thoughts because for me it's just a little bit disturbing.
Yeah, it's just like Suppy's a really, really good player. He's qualifying for international tournaments. He deserves the level of support and level of compensation that goes hand in hand with that. Like, if you don't give him money when he performs that well, if you don't give anyone money who performs that well, then you're not going to have a whole lot of pro gamers because we're all going to have to go find jobs. So if Check 6 doesn't have the necessary like surrounding infrastructure to bring in the money that it takes to maintain a player like that, then that's just kind of how business works. Like, if you can't do that, you're going to fail, and they failed. So the onus is kind of on them to maintain their players, to compensate them as they need to be, to take care of them. If they can't do that, then they're going to go to teams that can, and the industry, the scene, ends up better for it because we're left with the teams who can really make things happen. Like, EG knows how to bring money into the scene. They know how to give it to their players and allow us to play and allow us to do these shows and whatnot, which is what the community wants to see. So on the whole, it's a good thing. I wish for Check 6-6 that they had been better at that, that they had been successful, but they weren't. That's all there is to it.
And it's a long-time clan. I mean, they go back to Quake days, Counter-Strike days. I think even Check 6 had a couple Brood Ward players at one point. So it is a sad thing to see, but there you have it, Alex. Hope you got what you were looking for.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'm actually going to restart the other Skype now because it sucks and wasn't accepting any more calls. But we didn't actually, why don't we take this moment while I'm restarting my Skype. Pain User, what do you think, Check 6, and how this is going to affect you moving forward?
I don't give a fuck.
All right, well, that joke's not going to get old, ever. And by the way, because Key Hunt was in the channel and said he was pretty sure he never said poaching, and I believe that Jeff was specifically talking about sort of the attitude
other
that
comments.
Some of the commenters, yes,
other comments.
In the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
there
I mean,
we
like
go.
I said,
holy shit.
They were polite about it. Check 6 did not, like, in any of their interviews, they're not like, this is EG's doing, like, we're going to cry, like, you watch your back, EG. It wasn't like that, so take what I'm saying and please, well, this is already going to be misinterpreted 1,000 times over, so you know what? Fuck it. Check 6, just shat all... No, but...
You're ready for another
one. I didn't like it being... They're like, Suppy leaving, and then I think it got a little bit out of their control. Like, everyone else started discussing the reasons behind Suppy leaving and what Check 6 could or could not have done about that. So I guess when these things happen, everyone looks at it through a looking glass or, you know...
Right.
Whatever.
All right, let's take another caller. We got area code 860 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh, hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man. What's up?
Thank you.
I'm good. I wanted to touch on the IPL. I know it's kind of beating a dead horse here, but I have, like, a good point I kind of wanted to make. I was a big Brood War fan, and I remember back in the day, like, people can go on YouTube and watch the 2007 ever OSL, like, the intro, the player intro to that, and you can look at that kind of production, and you get that kind of hype going into it, and then you feel like StarCraft 2 is like the next big thing, like there's this huge hype. You go in, and then you kind of get this stuff after that. Like, this is years and years later, and it just falls flat on its face, like, every single time, almost. Like, there's always the saving grace, like, the angel coming down from the heavens, like, on NASL, like, season one. Like, if you didn't have those finals with MC and Puma, that would have been, like, the biggest disaster to date. And that was, like, the premiere launching the league.
Sure.
And IPL3, like, the whole premise of it, like, if KJ didn't do what he did, how many people have really been invested into that? And even after that, it was still, like, a friggin' nightmare. Nobody was enjoying that at all. So I want to know, like, if that doesn't happen, that saving grace isn't there. Like, what really happens? Like, with, you know, you have so many sponsors that are moving on to now as many games are being put, the rest, Heart of the Swarm's coming out, like, you see something fall flat in its face and there's no huge storyline, like, nothing to save it. What really happens after that point?
Well, I just want to say, I think for the most part, like, no one can predict that, like, ever, 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 that you just, unless you just know, like, okay, guys, well, we're going to have this $50,000 tournament, and I invited the 60-year-old ladies that live on the street over from me, like, it's going to be fucking awesome, yeah. Like, you're not fooling anyone, right? But when you get a talent pool of 16 players, there's always the chance of rolling the dice and not having fantastic games. It's happened before. And I want to let these guys comment on it, but to go back to your original point about the intros, I never saw this intro that everyone was from IPL or was saying, like, oh my gosh, this intro was so bad and whatnot. But there's definitely a certain people who are capable of just putting that kind of stuff together and making it awesome, and others just not so much. And you look at, like, TSL4, like, just look at their intro and the fact that one guy put that together, and it does hype the shit out of it. You know, it's awesome. So, you know, I think that they're definitely at least moving in the right direction to have these types of intros, but certainly there's room for improvement. Guys, what do you think about what our caller has to say?
Well, just speaking to the general quality of events, like, it seems like the bad ones are really sticking out of his mind. We have some that are just utter train wrecks. I think the IPL TAC finals, I think those definitely qualify as a pretty terrible event. But, like, if you think about MLG Anaheim, what was wrong with that? Like, it was just a good event. There were no major hiccups. The games were good. They had high-quality players. You had exciting runs like Sasuke and Stefano and stuff. It was a good event. And there's lots of events like that. They just don't really stick out in your mind because it's easy to focus on that one negative thing. And then we have a lot of good events where it's just, it's really exciting and fun to watch. And, you know, then it's done, and then we move on to the next event. And then another point within what he said was it's kind of difficult to expect. It's kind of difficult to expect the same level of production from these foreign leagues that we did from OGN and MBC in StarCraft 1, because they actually had a studio that they worked out of pretty much every day for years on end. They had everything set up.
Yeah.
They had a specific routine. They knew all the camera angles, all the lighting. They didn't have to take it down and rebuild it every time they wanted to put on a show. So they had a huge advantage there. And it was also just a much more professional thing. It was like a national, established, big industry with government support and whatnot.
Right.
So they had a lot of legs up on these events that have to be run in a few days.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add. I mean, I think it's certainly an interesting thing to think about. You know, MLG is an interesting way to think about it, too. Like, their first event was a single bench and a screen overhanging, like, an audience of 30 people. Who would know that it would go from that to now, which is thousands of people spanning the middle of MLG, and it's on, you know, it's on Forbes, it's on local newspapers, it's millions of dollars. Like, it's gone from point A to point B, and it's gone huge. If NASL has a terrible finals, does that league close? Probably not, but it's going to be a tough road season two. I think those are interesting things to think about. But, yeah, it's kind of like a – I don't know. I think everything would have gone on. I just had different stories.
No, I agree.
Well, thank you for your call, sir.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Take care. Later. And, you know, I don't know that it can ever kill League, but it certainly won't make people remember about your league, and I think that's kind of one of the biggest things to keep in mind. Let's take another caller. We got Jason on the line. Hello, Jason. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Love what you guys do. I was curious, how do you guys prevent plateauing whenever you're playing?
Plateauing just kind of happens. You can't really prevent it. The biggest thing is moving through it, like figuring out something new, finding a problem in your play, finding out why you're plateauing, and then moving through it. And honestly, that's really difficult to deal with. A lot of times it just happens. Like, you have a breakthrough, you're not sure why it happens. Something just clicks.
Okay, so you're just...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, so kind of just experimenting with creative play, if you kind of reach a stopping point?
Things to, like, throw yourself out of a groove are definitely a good thing. So creative play, experimenting with new things, just trying to shake things up and find new ways to look at the game.
All right.
Yeah.
Not repeating the same mistakes are, you know, obviously a big thing when it comes to plateauing. But I think, as Idris said, like, it's really, it helps to work with other people if you're running into, you know, roadblocks. At least this is always how it was, you know, when I play Quake back in the day and certain weapon situations, etc. I gotta imagine it's the same way. Like, do you guys feel that being able to work with other people, if you're hitting those roadblocks, is better than just trying to fire in and, like, solve your issues on the ladder?
Yeah, those things happen too. I mean, one of the things I would add too is that StarCraft is so mental, so it's such a cerebral game that, wow, this fly is, can fuck off and go die. Go die in a fire. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is, I think plateauing is kind of an interesting concept for me, at least. The swings are really radical. Like, you can feel really good one day, you're emotionally sound, you're not worried about things, you're just focused on StarCraft, and it's a great day. The next day, you're worried about wedding planning and shit, and, you know, you're fighting with your mom or something like that, so that's distracting you, and you play, like, terrible. So the swings are really big, but it's emotional and mentally connected. I haven't had a lot of time where it's like, over the course of 3 weeks, I've been feeling great and my play is up here, but it's just stayed at a certain level because nothing else is affecting it. I don't know.
Jason, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much for taking my call.
No problem.
It was great.
Man. Take care. Bye-bye. It was great.
He rated his
experience on Inside the Game. It was great. All right.
That's good. That's the experience you want to deliver.
We've got Cool Puff on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh, wow. Can you hear me?
We can. Hello.
Oh, this is awkward. How's it going, everyone? I was just wondering, what do you think of League of Legends and StarCraft 2? Do you think League of Legends is getting bigger than StarCraft? Or?
I think it already is. Like,
yeah.
Pretty much.
It is bigger.
Do you think StarCraft is dying compared to League of Legends?
No.
To League of Legends?
No, I don't. Do you?
Oh, no, because I'm a League of Legends administrator for a couple of companies in Australia. And we had this conversation all the time with my boss, and I'm just trying to get the point across that it wasn't, but...
Yeah. Size doesn't affect the life of something. Like, League of Legends reaches more people right now, more people are coming in and playing it. But StarCraft 2 is still very large, still very professional, still growing. But because one is larger than the other, it doesn't mean that the other one's dying.
Right. Yeah. Can we actually talk about, like, World of Warcraft Arena? Right? Let's not talk about League of Legends for a minute. Let's talk about World of Warcraft Arena. Let's talk about a game that declared itself an e-sport amidst the, you know, the 2005 to 2008 growth of e-sports. And World of Warcraft Arena had so many viewers that people were like, well, fuck, man, Quake is dead, Counter-Strike's dead, Brood War's dead, fucking Trackmania's dead, Unreal Tournament's dead, like, they're all dead because more people are watching this. When in reality, the reason more people watched it is because there were just a lot of motherfuckers that were playing World of Warcraft.
A lot.
Right? So we have a similar situation. The thing is that League of Legends is just proving itself to be a much better competitive game than World of Warcraft Arena ever was going to be able to put, you know, put forward. So the difference between the then and now is that you've got some resemblance of success with League of Legends. But the bottom line is that you just have to kind of look at it. It's just because a game comes on or something becomes immediately popular, it does not mean it's an insta-death for everything else around it. More times than not, it's actually going to cause more growth. And in my opinion, it has caused more growth already. People are just too goddamn fucking stone-headed and thick-skulled to actually see that it is happening around them.
Yeah, I feel partially I'm not going to take the blame of everything, but I guess the point I'm trying to say is it was a fun joke to make for a while to tease LOL, and I think that gave people the wrong idea. Like, I don't play LoL. I don't necessarily, you know, respect it in the playing sense because it's an easier game, but it's grabbing people, it's keeping them interested, it's trying to grow in esports. Riot is backing it up in an awesome way. I think those are great examples for the community. And guess what? Not everyone's going to play StarCraft. Like, some people don't give a shit about StarCraft, they don't care, so they want to play something else. But in general, if another game's kicking ass in the gaming sphere and doing good things in that realm, it's good for everybody because it continues to give attention to other games just by the natural cause of, like, that game's cool, whoa, there's this thing called StarCraft, I'll check that out. Whoa, I like that more, or vice versa. Like, that's all good stuff. So this discussion of, like, LoL streams 100,000, StarCraft 2's only got 20, does that mean the death of StarCraft 2? I'm not interested in that. It's different audiences. It's very, and it, I don't look at it combatively or competitively that way because they're not even the same genre of games. It's different people behind it and all together.
Yeah, it's not like people have to say, I'm only going to watch LOL or I'm only going to watch StarCraft 2 and I'm only going to watch the one that I watched first. Like, sure, maybe some people have gone from StarCraft 2 to LOL and they find that more entertaining, and that's good for them. They're still in esports. They're still eyes on our industry, bringing in money to our industry. And yep. I'm sure there's just as many people who have gone the other way who started, like Jeff said, watching LOL and then saw StarCraft 2 and liked that more. Just everything supports each other, and there's really not a whole lot of negatives that come of it other than our communities being annoying and bashing on each other.
Yeah, I don't expect fucking kumbaya campfires and, you know, roasted marshmallows and shit anytime soon, but it would be nice if at least a few key head community figures, like, would help out in this sort of this versus that or community versus community sort of facade. Because
sorry, we...
God, Jeff!
I
was directly calling you out, too, by the way, as passive-aggressive as I fucking possibly could, son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
But, no, hopefully... Yeah, go ahead.
What would you like to see from Australia? If you got the opportunity to come to Australia, what would you like to see to come to Australia to one of our tournaments?
Goat lust?
Girls.
Goat lust? Like, what the fuck? I mean, that's the easiest answer in the world, man. You bring goat lust to one of your competitions. I guarantee
oh, really?
You. So, yeah, goat lust is a superstar, man.
Now, you guys got great events and stuff. It's just, I feel really bad because I think a lot of the world is kind of, you know, Australia's so hard to get to.
Yeah, I feel really bad because we don't get to go to them.
Yeah.
But wait, next time you guys are thinking about inviting Tastosis, no. Go with In Control and Idra.
Yep.
Okay? Fly us out there.
The thing we want to see at your events is us.
Let me pet a wallaby, and I'll be happy.
Well, I would if I had the opportunity, because I love you guys, you know, but, like, yeah, I didn't have control over that.
I don't blame you, my friend.
Next time. Next time, man. Yeah. Thank you very much, Cool Puff.
That's right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we could probably take a couple more before I see Goatless calling in.
We got 24 minutes. We could take a lot more.
I think so. It just kind of depends. Okay. Do you have? Let's see. Let's go with this guy. Let's go with this. We got telephone. Actually, area code 562 on the line. Hello. Hello. Welcome to Inside.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh my God.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to call and ask about the Kestrel lock and whether they think it's necessary and what they think about it.
The Kestrel lock. So whether or not they think it's necessary, is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just curious.
Sure.
That was Kestrel and GSL not being allowed to trade players between them. Like.
Right.
That was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Natural. I think it's good.
Yeah.
I mean... They're separate, but they're kind of working together right now, and they're coming to agreements, and they have Kespa branding, right? Like, right now, Kespa players have a novelty to them. So if you kind of blend them together already, then Kespa doesn't get to capitalize on that and make money off of just the fact that they are Kespa players coming over. And also, competitively, if you start putting Kespa players alongside the very top GOM players right now, not only do they lose their novelty, but they kind of lose their hero. Like, people look at them a little bit more like they're mortals. They're like, oh, well,
right,
you're not even as
right.
good as the other guys. So it makes sense to ride this out, and it's good for everyone that they do.
Yeah, it's just protecting a lot of the parties involved. The GSL GOM teams, the GOM was a smaller thing than all the Kestrel leagues. in Korea thus far, so they haven't had as many opportunities to build up sponsorships. They don't have as much money. They could get bought out by the Kestrel organizations, and then the Kestrel players would be in trouble because it's not an even playing field yet. They haven't had as much practice. They're not as good, so they would lose their jobs to the GSL players, and then the GSL teams would just die.
And it gives Kestrel the opportunity to kind of like have a free get out of jail free card. You know, like to be able to, I can use this year because it's like October to October, right? I can use this time to sort of reestablish our dominance, our complete takeover of StarCraft. You know, whether or not they'll accomplish that, at least it does give them a foot to stand on. What do you think about it?
I agree with you guys. Like, it's important for them to have, like, a stable scene. And, you know, obviously, like I just said, they don't want to lose their jobs or anything like that. So it's important, you know, to have that security. So, yeah.
Agreed. All right. Any other questions?
No. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. No problem. Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye.
She called in. Smooth, quick, good answer. Yep. And she gets off with a nice goodbye. Mm-hmm. Boys, you're fucking up.
They're like, what's her Skype name? And I'm like, no, she was a smart one. She called in via phone because she knew that some...
Yep. She's dipshit. Above everybody, man. She's like some kind of... Esports Illuminati, man. She's super awesome.
All right. We'll check it while I wreck it, man. We got Barbara on the phone. Barbara, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
All the people in chat thought the last caller was me. That is hilarious.
No, because Barbara actually calls in with her Skype, not on her via telephone. Hello, Barbara. How are you?
Okay, so I have an actual question. First, I'd like to put in that I watch and play both StarCraft and League of Legends. But StarCraft's more fun to watch, and the players are far more handsome.
There you go. Case fucking closed, man. I'm shutting it down right now.
We do have more swag. The way we dress is significantly better.
But guys, Barbara, I don't mean to cut you off, but did you guys see the Kershmas?
Yes.
Oh, it's Kershmers.
I heard people make fun of it. Man. I didn't see it.
I felt a little bit bad because it was... It's making fun of the way Korean people speak English, and I don't like that.
It's it like so much about it. All right, sorry, Barbara. What's up?
I actually wanted to ask about the IPL finals format. Since it was double elimination, Liquid had to win 2 best-of-9s, which can take anywhere from 5 to 18 games.
Sure.
The League of Legends people were actually just really angry that StarCraft wouldn't get the hell off the stage.
Did they move, by the way, when StarCraft was over?
Yeah, they played one game and they all had to go home.
Okay.
So it's really awkward to the tournament to run it that way because it's really unpredictable to schedule for. It's also really rough on the players. Like Tasia in his 8th game, he's just totally tired. So do you think they should have done, say, like a best of 11 with IM starting with a 2-game advantage or something along those lines? The League of Legends finals did just that. They had a best of 5, but the winner's bracket team started off 1. Is it fair to players to sit 6 or 7 hours for a series to end? Do you think what they did with StarCraft was good and fair? And how do you think they should they keep that format in the future?
Well, they're changing format. They've already announced they're moving on to a single elimination professional bracket, and they're going to have an amateur bracket as well. So this issue is moot, but as far as how it affected the event, I thought it was pretty exciting. I didn't mind it at all. Like, you should be rewarded for being the winning bracket team and having a 1-game advantage, but having gone through the entire season without losing an entire clan war would be a little bit silly to me. So the drama of Tasia single-handedly destroying him round 1 and then almost doing it again round 2 was only made possible by the fact of this format. So I'm pretty okay with it. In the future, single elimination professional bracket is really cool as long as you never fuck up, because one fuck up and all of a sudden that team's eliminated and that becomes the story forever because it's so permanent. So becomes more severe, but I think it does away with the whole what's fair and what's not fair.
I mean, go ahead.
Double elim brackets always have this problem, the anticlimactic final, because either you don't make it fair for the person coming from the winner's bracket, or the team in this case, or you have this really long drawn out anticlimactic finals where someone has an almost insurmountable advantage and it takes forever and it's really just not all that exciting. I really just think that all tournaments... Actually, with a team league, I think it's fine to just have a single elim bracket because there is a bit more flexibility within the team format. Like, if one person loses 1 game or 2 games, the group is not out of it yet. They can still depend on other players. There's more room to mess up. So I think that's okay. But just in general, I think it should be groups into a very limited, like, 8-man single elim bracket almost always, because everything else just ruins the finals.
The other thing, too, like, I mean, I hope, like, no considerations are ever made because one community wants their game to be up on stage, you know, but the other one's taking too long. I mean, frankly, like, you could have swapped it and the same sort of results could have happened. And I think at the end of the day, it comes down to just, like, better planning and how organizations are going to handle dealing with a StarCraft II and a League of Legends crowd. Because, A, there's obviously some animosity there, but as far as growth is concerned, like, you might just have to have an adequate amount of space and time and stage and equipment, et cetera, for an entire series that involves two different games. I mean, I don't think that should be changed at all. I think that stripping away earned games away from a player for the sake of time is never, ever, ever a good thing. So I would always be incredibly against something like that.
It's okay. It took them 6 or 7 hours. I didn't know if you thought that I was too long or just right. It sounds like you thought they handled it just fine. Excellent.
Yeah. All right, Barbara, thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Most shows we have zero girls call in. On Inside the Game, we had two call in a row.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that not sex appeal, Weed?
Hey, you know what? In Control, here's a better question for you. Is League of Legends dying since we got two female callers and League of Legends shows are getting fucking zero? Because last time I checked, fucking pull out the fucking list here, and it's DEFCON 1 when that shit's going on. Because God damn it, I mean...
Weed, take this to the fucking next level, man. If they don't have any girls in their industry, then they're not going to create little League of Legends babies with the League of Legends players, and that means that they've got a lifespan of like 20 years, man. They can't even repopulate the League of Legends world.
Oh,
StarCraft 2? We got that shit in lockdown. We got Mini-Wheat. We got fucking...
Stargirl.
What are the other babies? Stargirl. She's casting at 5 years old, man. Where's my League of Legends player that's casting at 5 years old? You ain't got none, man. StarCraft 2 is gifting children and giving children to this world, and we have the ability to procreate. StarCraft's going to be around for at least 80 generations. Artosis. He fucking created a child too, man.
Artosis.
We got to stop making caster children. We got to start making player children, but we're on the right path.
All right. Now, we're not going to tell anyone that we've actually... there's a website on the internet called havegirlscallyourshow.com, and we subscribe to that on a monthly basis. But, hey, we've got the money to be able to... No, I'm just kidding. Let's take our next call. We got George on the line. Hello, George. Welcome to Inside the Game. Hello. How are you?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I know there's like a kind of running joke where... The Americans have a bit of a joke about not knowing the European scene. But I'd like to know, with MLG coming up, who do you think might have a breakout tournament like Suppy had last time?
From the European scene?
No, from the American scene, because I'm from Europe. And...
I see. Who do you think the next breakout player is going to be, is what you're saying?
What time is it where you are, first of all?
It's 1:45 in the morning.
Tip of the hat to you, sir. Thank you for staying on and watching our show.
Oh, no problem. It's good to watch.
Now, my next question is, why did you bring up that we tease about Europeans, and how does that pertain to your question?
I just thought it was kind of... It kind of goes both ways, because I know you always kind of bring it up, but in some ways, Europeans are equally ignorant about the American scene, and I'd like to know a bit more about it as well.
No, I mean, In Control the Caller's right, man. Just the other day, I was talking about how hot the European girls were and how we have all these, like, overweight women that just fucking go to... And, you know, like, I mean, I was kind of, like, teasing them a little bit about it. I mean, you know, I understand.
They're defensive about that. They don't like the world knowing about how attractive their women are. It's an interesting point. Well, except for in Britain. But it's an interesting point. Europeans versus like the NA scene. Those are different scenes. There used to be kind of a combative nature to it where Europeans very, very much so were like, NA is shit. Your guys are all terrible. And then Americans were like, well, nobody cares about you guys. And to a certain extent, both were true. but moving forward, I think things have gotten better. There's been a lot more cross-branding. We've seen a lot of Americans go over to those European events, and we've seen Europeans come over to the NA events. Like, it used to, for the first three or four MLGs, it was like Show and Sock, and that was it that went to MLGs. Mm-hmm. But now, it seems like there's a lot more cross-pollinating. I think also because the community was complaining about this kind of a thing, it became more attractive for a league to really tell the story of players, but also with like Bitter and Rotterdam coming over to NASL, they've got their own segment where they hype up European players specifically, and they've been really preaching that story. So I think actually moving forward, that's becoming a better thing. I think everyone's understanding everyone better. Of course, NA players still get more coverage, and I think that's predominantly because a lot of the big leagues are based out of NA, so they're trying to grow that scene because that's where their sponsorship is. That's where the biggest viewer base is. Mm. To this day, America is still the country that's watching the most StarCraft II. So unfortunately, that's unfair to a lot of people, but that is business, and at the end of the day, business is what drives growth in StarCraft II.
So who's going to be the breakout player from North America next? Who do you think?
I mean, those are kind of weird questions because I don't know who's all going, but if Suppy somehow still counts, he's playing in both WCS and NA, or MLG, and he's been working really hard and playing really hard, he's going to do great. As far as like what new player is going, I don't know. Like, I think it'd be interesting if Scarlett's going to play because she is at the WCS that's there, so I don't know if she's actually playing in the open bracket for MLG as well, but this might be her first or second MLG that she's ever attended, if that is the case. And I don't know if she's a breakout player, but she'd be a breakout MLG player. And she's not European, so I don't know, man. You tell me who's going to be the breakout European player.
I think BeastieQT is currently in America, isn't he? I think he's heading down.
Oh,
there.
We absorbed the shit out of him. He's American now. Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Well, is the USA joke going to go from Stefano to BeastieQT now when he rinses out the open
definitely.
Bracket?
Definitely. Definitely. You haven't noticed that trend? Come on.
He's dark.
Yeah. I think she really well in the open bracket because she's pretty dominant in the Canadian WCS. If she manages to do well WCS and in MLG, it'd be a real story. And I think, like you said earlier, StarCraft at the moment and tournaments really thrive on stories and kind of help everyone out. And that's about it.
Thanks, sir, for your call, George.
Very much for taking my call.
Yep, take care. Bye-bye. All right, I think we can take one more before Goat Lust here. So let's do it. All right, area code 214, hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello?
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 Welcome to the show.
God, this might be it.
Come on, you've got to be able to say more than just hello, man.
I'm sorry, man,
What, you just got done hitting your 9-foot bong and you're not sure what you actually called for? What?
No, I have a question for the man with no emotion, a.k.a. Hydra.
Let him finish. This could be good.
Okay. Let us hear the question.
I want to know who he thinks from Kespa has the greatest shot transitioning from Brood War to SC2, and if we will see him in the next MLG.
What, you ask a real question after that?
Flash and yes. I think the 8 spots MLG is reserved should be for the Kestrel players, and obviously they'll bring him.
And I'll have you know, last I checked, anger is an emotion. Is it not? Greg shows more emotion than most players by that regard, by the way.
Caller, do you have any? What do you think about that?
He's speechless.
I think that you're pretty right. I mean, I've heard from other people that.
He doesn't actually get angry, that it's all just an act?
It's a ruse.
Yeah. All right, man.
I got a question for the guy that's mind just got blown. Thank you for calling.
I guess a good time.
Oh, I was just doing that. I was just saying thank you for calling. It's just like I had to put it in the phrase of a question because I started off that way.
You did really great.
Thank you.
We want to try one more before we get Go Less on, or we just...
No, that
one
was
more.
Atrocious. Let's just do Go Less.
Oh, okay.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Greg.
I don't know how you people are entertained by that.
Hello.
I was a little bit worried because the last time I said, like, no, never mind. But
You know, we had.
Oh, g'day, fellas.
Hello, buddy. What's up?
Oh yeah, yeah. Not a whole lot.
Yeah. So there was some esports going on in your fucking backyard and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was. Not quite the backyard. I mean, it's a good 12 hours away. But yeah, it was going on.
It's all in Australia.
To you, that's just a walkabout, isn't it? Like that's no big deal, right?
Well, grab your knife, it's a fucking big walkabout.
Put a rope around like an alligator and surf it all the way to the fucking event.
Yeah. We don't do alligators down here. We got crocodiles.
Shit, I really fucked that one up. All right, you got me, Golos. What's up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck all. So, I noticed you called me out a little bit earlier, Jeff, about not calling last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to explain myself to you.
Okay.
Actually, last week I was watching the show, as I always do, and my Twitter was in the other tab next to the show, and I saw old Pain user give a good old tweet in, saying, "Hey, Wheat, let me on the show." But apparently, Wheat didn't really let him on.
Well, I didn't see it.
Because he missed
thanks.
It. So
thanks for being
a
human Reddit thread, Goatlust. God.
Look, I just didn't think it'd be appropriate for me to come on the show if Pain user.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that until about 30 a.m.
already.
You're a classy guy.
Dude. He is a classy guy.
You are.
Thanks, guys.
You are.
Yeah. Anyhow, my question for this week is, you know, what do you think's going to happen when the Heart of the Swarm beta comes out in regards to tournaments? Do you think they're all going to switch over to Heart of the Swarm immediately? And if they don't, that's going to cause some issues, isn't it?
I think they'll switch over as soon as it actually releases.
Was that Hobbs?
Yes, it is. Behind my computer. I think it'll switch as soon as it actually releases, so it won't switch during the beta. And the only thing that could affect that is if MLG's in like the middle of a season, or any big league is in the middle of a season, then they might stick with Wings of Liberty until the end of that, and then they'll switch over immediately. But no one's going to like try and persist and be the Wings of Liberty League. Everything's going to switch over Hearth Swarm as soon as it's logical to do so.
But do you think, I mean, during the beta... Like, I expect it's going to be like, let's get excited because there's a beta tournament, and then it's going to happen. But I can't imagine that with changes like they came out during the beta, there's just no way that any league would want to risk even a tournament life on that, would they?
Yeah, go back to MLGDC with like huge balance patches happening the day of and stuff like that. I don't see anyone switching before beta, except for, like you said, beta tournament, like gimmicky kind of one-off kind of things.
I gotta say, like, we had a pretty long beta for Wings of Liberty, but we all called it StarCraft 2, obviously, because it was just, that's what it was for us.
Right.
And that made sense. There was a whole bunch of balancing to do, there was a whole bunch of things to figure out, a new UI entirely for Battle.net, as far as us StarCraft players are concerned. For Heart of the Swarm, this Christmas, my wish upon a twinkling star, and Dustin Browder's shiny head, and fucking my English Bulldog Barrison, everything I wish upon... is for a very short beta, but obviously like an effective one, as stupid as that is to wish for. But we don't have as much, in my opinion. Like, you don't need to do away with all the maps. You don't need to change everything. Obviously, the new units need their balancing, so give it a month or two. Obviously, they're going to introduce some new things, like the start from replay, some UI changes. Good. But if what's in store is like a six-month like beta thing, that's going to fuck up a lot of stuff, because like you guys are talking about, the excitement of a beta tournament is unabashedly going to grab more viewers than another tournament because of that novelty, because people are like, oh, I want to see that. But that's going to cause turmoil, in my opinion, because then the leagues that, in my opinion, are sticking to competition are going to be punished for that competitive loyalty. Because the more competitive tournament is the one that's like not irrelevant 2 weeks later when they change that unit that then won the tournament in that beta tournament, right? Which is what would happen. But also, Blizzard, when we had beta tournaments for StarCraft 2, the server would go up and down. Yeah. It was terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. Can you imagine MLG being like, yeah, MLG Dallas 2013. Come on, you know, it's the StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm beta tournament. And then a classic Blizzard snafu happens. We're halfway through it. Fucking server goes down. And a guy traveled from Germany and sitting there. And he's just like, what? What do I do? And Blizzard's like, okay, sorry. We'll reimburse everybody. It's going to cost us $7 million. You know, no big deal. No, you can't do that. So I would hate it if tournaments were punished for sticking to competition, but then smaller tournaments were rewarded for taking a gamble that should not make sense in a business world.
Which, you know, Jeff, you actually bring an interesting spin on the discussion, because in this day and age, everyone's kind of looking for what's going to give me that little bit of edge above the competition. Yep. And as a result of that, suddenly you kind of change my mind a little bit. Like, every single tournament may just say, well, we'll just have this exhibition side tournament, or we'll run this during this, and... because there is that little, no one's going to sit there and be like, yeah, let's just watch, you know, IPL, NASL, MLG, whoever, just take all of the beta, you know, audience. I'm going to have to think about that one a little bit more. That's
kind of worried about it, because it's a hard question for those leagues to answer, because I think either way, they take a big risk or they don't, and I don't know. It scares me.
And what do you think's going to happen in terms of practice if there's like sort of a split between leagues, or even if there isn't, if you just want to get a head start in with the new units?
That has to come from the leagues. If it goes the way it should go, it should be that we are Wings of Liberty until the release of Heart of the Swarm, not the beta. In which case, if my tournaments are still Wings of Liberty, I am practicing Wings of Liberty. Normally, at the end of a 10-hour day, when I would get up and go play fucking Final Fantasy III or something else, or Darksiders 2, what I would do otherwise, is I'd go play the beta for a little while. I'd go play a couple hours of that. But if it's every tournament's kind of picking and choosing between beta or Wings of Liberty, shit, man, I don't know.
I think I'll be switching over practice-wise to at least like 75% Heart of the Swarm as soon as the beta's up, because I just feel like that's obviously going to be the future. Everything will switch sooner or later. I don't feel it will take too long for that switch to happen, and I think the practice is just more valuable learning the new game. That's still going to practice the mechanics. Like, nothing is going to actually change in the execution of it. Nothing.
But you're practicing things that could change and be irrelevant.
You are, but I feel the experience that you gain, I think enough will stay the same once they release beta. Like, if you go back, a lot of numbers have changed. Numbers changed even early on since the Wings of Liberty beta. But a lot of the core premises, a lot of the things that are really important, they stayed the same. And I think we'll get enough experience from practicing that. And I think that a lot of players will be doing that, honestly. I think a lot of people will be forward-looking, and that the meta game of Wings of Liberty is kind of going to stagnate. And it won't take as much time to actually stay up on that. And the mechanics are still going to be the same. I'm not going to actually get worse at playing it, at doing the game, by practicing Heart of the Swarm. I'm just not going to improve as fast or learn as fast at the old game. So I think it's more valuable to focus on the new one immediately.
Some good comments. You know, the other thing to take into consideration is that it could be very well that Blizzard has it in their best interest to make the beta period much shorter to release, so that they don't, like, lose any footing as well, because it's just as important for them when these tournaments have success, and I don't think they want to disrupt the balance of the Blizzard force, if you will. So
I thought they announced a 3-month beta at some point.
Yeah, I think they did pretty much say it was going to be
be meaningless, but
yeah. 3 months, Blizzard, pack them in, guys! Yeah.
Blizzard saying something is, for me, like your ancient Alzheimer's grandfather in the other room, like, shit, piss horse! And you're like, okay, grandpa, all right. And they're like, piss out my ass! You're like, okay. And then, you know, if anyone were to take that seriously, be like, Grandpa said he's pissing out of his ass, you'd be like, okay, Grandpa said that. Actually, that's kind of a weird analogy, because he might be doing that. But when Blizzard says 3 months beta, or, like, remember with Anaheim? Like, beta to follow after Anaheim, close after? Well, that was a while ago. And you know what? In their defense, it's all relative. The human, you know, the existence of humanity has been just the blink of an eye through the course of time, so... They're still technically true.
Technically.
soon was just relative. That's what we didn't realize.
Yeah.
Go Lust.
Yep.
Thank you for your call, as always. I hope that the scene down there continues some good success, buddy.
Yeah, By the way, I hope I can make it next
Did you
time.
Hear the last guy that's like, I organize League of Legends events and stuff? I told him that he needs to hire you.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've actually played a bit of League of Legends. Just don't tell anyone about that, but yeah.
I won't, especially Jeff. I won't tell Jeff. All right, sir.
All right, I'll take catch care. You gentlemen later.
All right,
thanks
take care, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Sorry about some of the early sound issues, and you know, one day we'll never have to deal with technology ever again.
One day.
One day. Let's do our closing comments, thank you statements, shout-outs, dedications, whatever. Maybe you want to sing a song today? Want to recite a few lines of poetry? I'll leave it up to you guys. We'll start with you, Greg. Go ahead.
Hobbs would like to thank Intel, Monster, SteelSeries, Hyperx, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire, as well as our title sponsor, Raid Call, for providing the money that buys his cat food.
I love his ears, like, just perking back a little, like, Greg, seriously, this shit isn't
this,
funny.
Greg?
It's not funny, cat. Greg.
We do need that sponsor money to buy that cat food, by the way, because he eats a shit ton of it.
Yeah, you can't really tell from that angle. He's getting pretty fat. We're going to have to start calling him Garfield soon.
Do you feed him wet food?
No, dry food.
Just
we
dry?
Have him on weight control stuff, but he eats enough food that he gets fat anyway.
I pretty much have been like a dry food for most of my cat's life.
He actually doesn't wet food.
And I started... Like, he doesn't? Yeah. I finally found... I had the same issue, but then I finally found these ones that help my wife, and the cats, like, they eat them up. And every night, like at 9 o'clock, they know it's time. Gather around. Like, beg for dinner. It's great.
Every night at 9 o'clock, Wheat becomes the cat woman.
Pretty much, dude. Pretty much. Only I wish I was that hot.
And also, we're recording the next episode of Unburrowed tonight. So
yeah.
If you have any questions for that, tweet at Evil Geniuses or with hashtag Unburrowed. Any questions you want to ask me or Jeff, probably Marcus will be on it, and Bryce.
Right on.
Do that.
The other Marcus. The other Marcus.
Yes. Marcus Thorzane, the Swede.
Yeah, Marcus the Swede. Jeff, I know you're going to recite some poetry, right?
You know what? Maybe next time.
Major.
Okay, maybe next time.
Actually, all right.
I'll let you prepare it. No, it's okay.
Oh, fine. You sure?
Well, whatever.
I can Google the crap out of it.
Whatever.
Hang on. Walt Whitman.
I don't want to put you on the spot or anything.
Okay, I got something for you. hang on. This is taking a... Hang on. Hang
I
on.
Just
hang
said,
on.
Yeah, wait till next week.
Oh, they want me to download shit. Fuck that. We'll do it next time.
Oh, okay. Next week, I expect it.
We'll do it next time. For right now, though, I want to reiterate the thanks to our sponsors. Obviously, Raid Call, our new title sponsor. Very excited about that. EG actually has told me nothing about this, so I can't get in trouble for this. And I think I've already said it before, but Greg and I, as well as a slew of other EG people, will be in Seattle, Washington for PAX Prime at the end of this month. Really excited about that. Hopefully you guys in that area will come out and say hi. That's my home state. I'm looking forward to it.
Right on.
Really looking forward to taking the temperature I've grown accustomed to and dividing it by two and then hanging out in said weather as opposed to surviving in a world that just shouldn't exist, this kind of temperature. And Sir Scoots always gets butthurt when we talk about how hot it is here in Arizona, but it's actually 120 degrees.
It was 112 at like 10 p.m. last night.
It doesn't stop. Yeah, it's the most... If the weather in Arizona was a StarCraft player... Fuck competition. Nobody would ever touch it because it just doesn't stop being amazing. Amazingly hot, that is. Also, I've been streaming In Control TV on Twitch TV. Please do check me out. It's been every day around 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, sometimes earlier, and usually for a good 4 or 5 hours. We'll be at MLG Raleigh. I think that's worth noting. The entire EG army will be there. I will be playing, really looking forward to that. Raleigh has been a great MLG event. Every year we've done it, so I hope people are going to check it out and go there and see us. And that's about it. Thanks, thank you to everyone who is awesome and knows me. I love you.
Right on. I want to give a shout out to our sponsors here on the show, Steel Series, Monster Energy, and Kingston Hyper X. I also want to give a shout out to my new management team who is working hard on our industrial tridents that we are now manufacturing. I'm pushing out the pitchfork manufacturers. I think they have an obsolete product. I'm going forward with my tridents. They'll come in several colors, including hot pink. That was
for all those girls to play StarCraft.
It was actually more for Major, but just want to thank all you guys for tuning in. Tomorrow night we do have Live on 3. Scoots is not going to be returning quite yet. He'll be flying in late in the evening, but he will be returning the week after. We got a lot to talk about, including IEM, which is starting tomorrow. So hope you're going to be like me, get up bright and early and get ready, because IEM will be kicking off at Gamescom, along with a ton of other competitions, streams, etc. So make sure to follow along on twitch.tv all weekend and week throughout the festivities. With that being said, I'm DJ Weed. Thanks for joining us. Had a great time tonight. We'll see you next time, bitches. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.